will award
yan yan
whatsoever
kamayate
desires
janaha
the persons
araditoho
being worshipped
yata
as
eva
certainly
eshaha
the Lord
tata
similarly
Pumsam
of men.
Hola
udoyaha.
The result.
So, translation, the performer of the sacrifices under the karma kanda activities achieves the fulfillment of the desire for which he worships the Lord. So, purport by Zabangre Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he awards benedictions to the worshipper according to his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all living entities conditioned within this material world full freedom to act in their own way. But to his devotee, he says that instead of working in that way, it is better to surrender unto him, for he will take charge of the devotee. That is the difference between a devotee and a fruitive actor. The fruitive actor enjoys only the fruits of his own activities. But a devotee, being under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, simply advances in devotional service to achieve the ultimate goal of life, to go back home, back to Godhead. The significant word in this verse is kaman, which means sense gratificatory desires. A devotee is devoid of all kaman. He is anyabhilashita shunya. A devotee is always devoid of all desires for sense gratification. His only aim is to satisfy or gratify the senses of the Lord. That is the difference between a karmi and a devotee.
Tams tan kamam harir dadya jan jan kamayate janaha radito yatai vaisha tatapum sam.
So, Omagana to Vidanda Shah, Naranjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Gena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, even the Karmakanja activities in the Vedas, Karmakanja means the path of achieving what you want materially in this world. The Kanda means path. Even those that do not directly mention the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those entail indirectly worshiping the Lord. In other words, you have two types of karma kandya activities. One type is the demigod stuff, you know, where you worship Ganesh for money, for example. Just like there was one devotee in the movement, and he wanted to worship Ganesh for money, and he was using his money for Prabhupada, which is probably a good idea. And so he installed the deity of Ganesh inside his safe. You know what a safe is?
Yes.
Safe is where you keep the money with a combination and everything like that. So he had a deity, and every time he would open up the safe, he would do different mantras to Ganesh. You know, you can imagine him turning the safe, the knob on the safe. Govinda Madhi Purusham, or whatever. Ganesh Adi Purusham, whatever. I don't know the mantras he used. And he asked Prabhupada, is it all right for me to worship Ganesh? Like that. Prabhupada said, of course it wasn't Karmakanda. He was trying to serve Prabhupada. He actually paid for the construction of the Vrindavan temple. So Prabhupada said, the only way you can worship Ganesh is if you give me at least $100,000 every month. Then I authorize you to worship Ganesh. So he did it. He arranged to collect over $100,000 every month, and so he kept worshiping Ganesh. So I guess that's bona fide demigod worship. Or if you were like the gopis who are worshiping Katyayani to get Krishna as a husband. They did this whole Katyayani Vrat. That means vow. in which they would bathe every day in the cold Yamuna. They would only eat once a day, unspiced things. Very, very austere, these gopis were, so they could get Krishna as a husband. And then after that month, because it was basically a month that they were doing this, they all got Krishna as a husband. How did they get Krishna as a husband? Well, Krishna stole their clothes. They were bathing in the Yamuna. This is, of course, you all know that story. They were bathing in the Yamuna, and they were bathing naked. And in those days, the men and the women, they had a different place for bathing. It's not like nowadays, you go to the beach here, the men and the women are practically naked anyway, right? The men are almost naked, and they're all bathing together. But in those days, it was different. So anyway, so then Krishna took their clothes that they had left on the bank of the river and put them up in the tree. And they came, tried to come out, and they didn't find any clothes. And they finally looked up and saw Krishna smiling up there in the tree. And they got really angry, and they tried to convince Krishna to give them back their clothes. And Krishna said, if you want your clothes, you got to come and get them. And they said, this is nonsense, Krishna. We're going to report you to Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna said, he can't do anything to me. I don't care. I'm not scared. So, ultimately, Krishna said, you have to come out and get them. And they came out and they tried to cover themselves with their hands. And Krishna said, no, no. You cannot do that. You committed a great offense against the Yamuna River. And so you should come out with your hands over your head. Like sometimes the robbers, you know, they take a gun to you and they put your hands up. So they had to come out with their hands over their head. And of course, you know, that meant that their body was exposed, and that in the Vedic system, that only the husband was able to see the wife in such a way. And so that was, in a sense, that was their marriage. You understand? That was their marriage with Krishna. And so their desire was fulfilled. Their desire that they was an impetus for worshipping Katyayani or Durga. So you see, this worship of demigods is actually approved in Krishna consciousness. And actually, you can worship even Lord Shiva as a devotee for pure devotional service. Just like sometimes devotees, they even celebrate Shivaratri. In Sridhar Mayapur, I was just there with Shivaratri, and the devotees went to the Jagannath temple, which is pretty close to Mayapur, it's a few kilometers away. And they had a giant Shivaratri ceremony for worshipping Lord Shiva. So we can worship Lord Shiva because he's the best devotee for devotional service. I mean, any pure devotee, you can worship for pure devotional service. You can even worship Yamaraj if you want because he's a pure devotee. He's one of the Dvadasha, 12 great Mahajanas, 12 great souls. But we don't worship Lord Shiva as God. That is actually a great offense. One of the offenses on chanting, in fact. We worship Lord Shiva as a devotee. And also we worship Prabhupada as a devotee. And we beg for Shiva's mercy, for Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And we never think of them as God. When Prabhupada was on the planet, there were some devotees who were so crazy they thought that Prabhupada was God. There were actually sannyasis, there were four sannyasis, this is a history, ISKCON history, who said that Prabhupada was Krishna. You know, not just Shakshad, Hari, Dvainasa, Master Sasha, not as good as God because he's the most intimate servant of God, but he's God. You know, we almost had another Satya Sai Baba organization within ISKCON. You know, they went to Satya Sai Prabhupada or something like that. They're so crazy. Can you imagine how crazy people are sometimes? Prabhupada was so disturbed that he kicked these four sannyasis out of the movement. And he says, don't let them come to any temples. And eventually they rectified themselves and came back to Krishna consciousness, to the right understanding. But so there's a way to worship even a demigod. And there's a way to worship a pure devotee as a pure devotee. Of course, we don't do Indra Puja because Indra is not a pure devotee. Indra has a lot of spiritual problems. You know, if you start worshiping him, he may kidnap your wife. If you are like the sage the sage Gautama Rishi, Indra came down and had a relationship with his wife. So, you know, just be careful with Indra. Because I haven't seen too many temples of Indra recently. Even in Fiji, nobody worships Indra, right? They generally, it's Ganesh or someone like that. Or Lord Shiva or Parvati. Vajrakali. In Bengal, they worship Vajrakali, the ferocious form of Durga. And Prabhupada said they don't know that Durga is actually riding on a tigress with a trident to give them misery. He said the trident means has three points on it, is the adi atmic, adi bodhic, adi daivic miseries. Miseries from living other living entities, miseries from the material nature, and miseries from your own mind and your body. So they don't understand that about Durga. They think, why is she... They never even question. People are so stupid, they never even question, why is she riding on the tigress? Why she had this trident? They never question that. People are just so ritualistic. Especially here in Fiji, people get in these rituals, and you ask them, you know, what does it mean? They say, I don't know, it's just something my father taught me. And I said, well, maybe you should just worship Krishna. They said, no, if I don't do this, these demigods will punish me. And then when someone joins the movement, and they get a little sick, their parents tell them, it's because you're not worshiping the demigods. That you're getting sick. No, it's not because of that. It's because they got a cold. Or because a mosquito bit them. They get dengue. I mean, there's a dengue demigod. So basically, there's a way to worship the pure devotee demigods, and there's a way not to worship them. And we can certainly pay respect to Lord Shiva. We certainly pay respect to Hanuman, who's the greatest devotee of Lord Ramchandra. I even have a deity of Hanuman that I take with my deities all the time. It's no problem, but Hanuman is not God. Sometimes you go into some of the Hindu centers, and they'll introduce all the deities as the gods. I don't know if they have that here in Fiji. But in America, we have these Hindu centers with 20 altars on them. And each altar, not so nice, they have like a garage door, you understand, to cover the altar. And depending on which group comes in and which day, they open a particular altar. The rest of the week, all the deities are sleeping. It's called the Hindu centers in America. We have like Hindu societies, Hindu centers. And there's no understanding. There's no understanding. Of course, one altar they have Krishna, but they say, oh, would you like to see the gods? It's like you're going into some ancient Greek temple, you know, where you have Zeus and all these other personalities in Greek mythology. And it's all just karmakanda. You know, the Satyanarayan Katha is one of their most important activities. Of course, that's worshipping Narayan for material things. Or, you know, Durga Puja, or this or that. And they don't even know what they're doing. Just like recently we had Holi. And I asked people, what does it mean? I mean, I know what it means. And they said, no, it's just a fun time for us. Just to throw things at each other. They don't understand it's to do with Krishna and the gopis. And it's, you know, it should be fun. Of course, even in Suva, I remember one year, people took the fire hoses out and were spraying each other with it. And then Lambasa, they would go into the stores and throw colors on every storekeeper, right? You remember that? It was fun. But we should know why we're doing what we're doing. Anyway, so that's one type of karmakanja activity, is where you worship the demigods. And of course, Krishna says in the Gita, avidhi purvakam, it is not something that he recommends. And he says, quickly people get results, but the results are temporary. And another type of karma kanja activity is to worship Krishna for something material. That's better. Like Krishna says, akama sarvakama moksha kama daradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That if you want something, whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or you want to get out of the material world, then you should worship Krishna. Tivrena, in a very enthusiastic way. So that's applied in a case like Dhruva Maharaj, who worshiped Krishna very enthusiastically for something material. And he became purified. That's the benefit. If you worship the demigods for something material, you do not become purified. If you worship Krishna for something material, you eventually get purified because you're chanting Krishna's name, like the Jamya we mentioned last night. It's a trick. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Surya. That's from the Rig Veda. It's a trick. When you worship Krishna, then ultimately you have to chant Hare Krishna or Govinda or some name, Narayana. Narayana, 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 Narayana. Just like if you go into the temples in South India, you always hear it chanted Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. It's very interesting in South India. So that's a trick. But still, it's less intelligent. And people worship Krishna for something material. They're not quite Vaishnavas. They're called Vaishnava Prayas, which means almost a Vaishnava. And we mentioned last night, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would describe people like that as worms in stool. The reason he said that is not to insult them, but because the business of a worm when it's taken out of the stool is to jump back in. So it's just like you're taken to Krishna, the most beautiful person in the whole anywhere, and then you just jump back into the stool ditch of material enjoyment. Pretty crazy, isn't it? Pretty crazy. It's like you've just recovered from a disease and then you go and infect yourself again. Let's say you've just recovered from dengue and then you say, where are some nice mosquitoes where I can get bitten again and get dengue again? I want a different variety of dengue this time. I want to get the dengue where you hemorrhagic, where you bleed. Last time it was just a fever. Now I want more. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? That's like a worm in stool. So, and Prabhupada tells an example of a very funny example of a woman who worshipped Krishna with that mood. She was collecting wood in the forest, putting the wood on her head, carrying it back to her home to make prasadam, to cook food. And she dropped all this wood. And it's people in India, when they put things on their head, they put a lot of things on their head. It's not just like one little thing. It's just like a whole pile, you see. They carry bricks on their head. They carry pots, water pots on their head. And because of that, they have good posture. Prabhupada said if the ladies want to be beautiful, they should carry things on their head. And also they should churn butter. Did you know that? Because when they churn butter, then they become sumajama, which means thin waist in Sanskrit. Very thin waist. Actually, it's described about the gopis. Their waist was so thin, you can actually put your hands around the waist. Can any of you do that with your waist? Sumukha, did you do that? No. You this big. So, anyway, so this lady, she was carrying firewood on her head. And somehow or other she tripped and dropped the firewood and she started praying to Krishna, Krishna, help me, Krishna, help me, Krishna, 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 Haribo, Haribo. And then Krishna appeared and Krishna said, my dear devotee, what do you want? She said, put the firewood back on my head. It's pretty foolish, isn't it? You know, Krishna comes, you don't ask him to increase your burden. So that's what it means to approach Krishna for something material. You're just asking him to give you more misery. Because the material world, dukalam ashashvatam. And basically, it doesn't make you happy. Unless you're asking him for things for his service, that's fine. You can pray to Krishna, please, Krishna, send money so we can make this temple, we can renovate the temple. That's fine. That's fine to do that. Or please, Krishna, help this devotee advance in devotional service. Help me get rid of my anarthas. We should be asking Krishna for something. Like I was mentioning last night, it was hard to get this across. But when we chant the three words of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna and Rama, Sanskrit language, in the Sanskrit language, they're considered to be vocative. Now, I know that wasn't translated or understood so well last night. That means to call out and ask for something. They're in the language sense of calling out. Like in Sanskrit, you can put away, for example, there's another sense you can say the word Krishna. Like Krishnas is a noun. Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. You know, Krishna is the source, and Krishna is the original Bhagavan. Anyway, so the word Krishna is in the sense of calling out. Of course, Hare is in the sense of calling out to Radharani, and Rama is in the sense of calling out to either Lord Rama, Balarama, or Radha Ramana Hari, who is Krishna. So the whole Man Mantra is actually calling out, begging Krishna for something. We should remember that when we're chanting. Like Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram. O son of Nanda Maharaj, Patita Mam Vishame Vavam Budo. I'm fallen in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Kripya Tavapada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadra Sambha Chintia. Please fix me up as one of the Adams at your lotus feet. So when we chant, we pray to Krishna, it should be asking for something. And we ask for something spiritual. There's many spiritual things we can ask for the benefit of someone else, for the temple, for the Krishna conscious movement, for the health of a devotee. These are all nice spiritual things. You have a whole list of things you can ask for. But if you start asking things for yourself, I mean, it's all right, but it's not the highest. It's like a worm and stool consciousness. Vaishnava Praya. But a real Vaishnava, a real devotee, is described here. He is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no desire for any sense gratification, and he only wants to satisfy Krishna's senses. All right, so any questions or comments? Because we have a Sunday feast and programs today. Yes, Chakra.
Generally,
when I
talk to people in public,
yeah,
they consider Lord Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma as demigods. How do you explain that? How do you explain to them?
Well, ask them, first of all, you have to ask them, why do you think the way you're thinking? That's, you really, to get people to change their opinion, you have to have them see what is the source of their knowledge, and the source of their knowledge is not perfect. Because they'll say, well, that's what I was taught when I was by my mother. And I'll say, was your mother perfect? Maybe she's a perfect mother, but she's not perfect spiritually. So in order to understand dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, in order to understand what is actually true, you have to receive knowledge from above, not from below. I mean, we're not interested in what you think. Like Prabhupada would often say, if you say, I think you're a rascal. You know, I think Krishna may be God, or I think Lord Brahma is God, or Lord Shiva, or something like that. So what do the Vedas say? Let's refer back to the standard text. Ekaleshra Krishna Vesadda Vritya. Krishna's, anyway, there's so many verses. Aka Chamsa Kalakpusa Krishnas to Bhagavan. There's that word Krishnas to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Person of Bhagavan Swayam. So consult the Vedas and see. We are not accepting things simply due to someone's sentiment. So if someone thinks Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu are demigods, you know, where does that information? The Vedas don't say that. The Vedas say the Lord Brahma comes from Krishna's navel, the lotus flower of Krishna's navel. And Shiva is an expansion of Krishna meant for dealing. He comes from, Aikshatal, he comes from the glands of Krishna, dealing with the material world at the time of the creation. The glance of Krishna, when Lord Vishnu looks at the creation, that glance is Shambhu. So, anyway, so that's what we answer. Now, generally, I'd say, why do you believe what you believe? That would be my question to these people. I wouldn't attack the question directly. I would ask them, why do you believe what you believe? Yeah, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I would say, why do you believe what you believe?
Yeah,
if you say you're wrong, that's angry. But I would just ask them a question, why? If you keep asking people a question, the why question, it's interesting. Ultimately, they will probably surrender. If they say, I believe this, and you say, why? And they say, because of that, why? And they say, because of that, why? Either they'll go crazy or they'll surrender. What are the two things? You know, why do you believe what you believe in? You know, why do you believe that enjoying the body is the purpose of life? You know, make you happy. It never worked for anybody else. You think it's going to work for you? Why do you think you're not going to die?
Regarding the why question,
yeah,
I did ask this a little bit to them, and they said, I told them, because Rama is vegetarian, Hanuman is vegetarian. Why are you meat? They had no answer.
Yeah, that's good. Of course, Bhimsen was not vegetarian, so don't remind them of that. Many Kshatriyas were not vegetarians, especially Bhimsen. He would eat almost anything, except for human beings. And Garuda, he's not vegetarian. He's even allowed to eat human beings. Did you know that? The only thing Garuda is not allowed to eat is Brahmins. That's why it's good to be a Brahmin, if you don't become Garuda Prasad. There's a story in the Mahabharata that one time Garuda went into a village of Aborigines, Nishadas, and he was hungry. And so he opened his mouth and swallowed them all. And then he felt a little burning sensation in his throat, and then he understood by accident he had swallowed a Brahmin. Because the Brahmin had married one of the Aborigine girls. So he said to the Brahmin, get out of there immediately. And the Brahmin left, and then Garuda digested the rest of the people. So you don't want to tell people that. Because then they'll think, if Garuda can eat meat, I can eat anything too. I mean, Garuda used to eat fish, and that's why he was cursed not to go to the Jamuna River. Because the Shobari Muni cursed him because Garuda was eating all the fish. It's called Maithili. Was that fish? Maithili?
Machli.
Machli. Machli. Machli prasad.
Just like Shobhava's uncle in Puri.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, you try to feed Prabhupada fish. Fish Mahaprasad. So you don't want to mention Garuda to them or Bhimsen. Yeah, just keep those things out of their knowledge, or else they'll use that as an excuse. Okay, I think we have to end now because we have a midday program, right? And we have a breakfast and everything like that. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada.